Good morning. Hey. They didn't even say good morning. You guys are
morning.
Like...
morning.
It's like the church is asleep. There you go. Come on now. Got one rowdy one. Well, I know this is Father's Day, and I'm happy to honor all the fathers that are here. Zeke's not even in the room right now, and you're up there, but... I always think about this on Father's Day, is that we have a heavenly Father that we need to remember to celebrate on this day, because He is the ultimate Father. Do you guys know that? No matter how good your earthly father, no matter how great He is to your life, and sometimes I would say that we all are learning as fathers and we make mistakes sometimes, but His love is perfect. There's no shadow or turning in Him. There's no darkness. There's no variation in God. And so, as a father, let's just start off the service by telling Him Happy Father's Day. And let's do this on three. One, two, three. Happy Father's Day! Right? And He's a good, good Father. He's an Abba Father. And so when we celebrate today in worship, let's set our hearts on remembering our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Thank You, Father, for giving Your Son. Thank You, Lord, for not holding Him back, but giving Him to us freely as a gift, so that we could be restored to You as Your children, as Your sons and daughters. We are grateful, Lord, for that. We're thankful, God, for that. And we just want to say we appreciate You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's stand together, church. Father in heaven, who You are. Thank You, Father in heaven, who You are. Thank You, Father in heaven, who You are. Such a good Father.
You reign above it all. You reign above it
Apprehended our hearts, our lives. We're so thankful, Lord, that you're the one that's at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We just surrender, Lord, to your reckless love. Let your love have your perfect way in our lives, Lord, in our families' lives, Lord, in our friends and our loved ones' lives. Let us be, Lord, an emissary, Lord, of your love, your reckless love. Help us to love, Lord, when it's difficult. Help us to love, Lord, when it's unlovely. You've set the example, Lord. Fill our hearts, Lord, with your reckless love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't you take a few minutes and greet each other? Thank you, team.
I told you. Good morning. We're going to get into our declarations. Before we get into that, as Pastor is getting that set up, I just wanted to give a quick recap. We did, Friday night was our youth worship night, the Gathering 509 at, Living Faith Victory Center on Nob Hill. And it was amazing. It was really, really good. We had about, I didn't count some, I heard the number 100, over 100, like, you know, teens and adults and all were there. And, 15 people said yes to Jesus. So that's amazing. And it was powerful. So I'm excited. We're going to keep doing them and we're going to keep, going after the youth in our city. And so, really just wanted to give you guys a quick update about that. So our declarations, we're going to do our declarations. We're going to, continue believing for good things over the city of Yakima. Amen. Believing that God is, he loves our city and that we're not just a blip in Washington that is forgotten about, but we're actually going to do something mighty. So let's get that first declaration up there. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to say this with excitement. We're going to say this like we believe it. Whether we've lived here all of our lives or just some of our lives, we're just going to declare this over the place that we call home. So here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So we have a couple announcements. The upcoming, I know the first one is Saturday. This upcoming Saturday, the 25th, bless you, Tara. The 25th, we're doing our first summer worship night. It's in our backyard, the Lopez home. That's our address. Everyone's invited to this. It is what it says it is. It is worshiping in our backyard. And so there's no agenda other than just to hang out and worship Jesus. And I think that sounds like a good time. And so please, you know, everyone's invited. This is also a good opportunity to invite a friend. I'll be inviting, you know, other churches as well. I have friends in other churches, and I'm just going to say, hey, everybody come. Let's get our backyard full. And so that's Saturday. Let's put that in your reminders. Something else? No. Yeah. And then thank you for giving. Appreciate everybody who pours their finances into this house. You guys know the drill. You can give online, or you can give in the box here or the box there. And we appreciate it. And then the last thing I want to say, we don't have a slide for it, but just a reminder for everybody, in 2 weeks, starting July, whatever the first, is it July 1st? No, it's like July 3rd. It's July 3rd, because I know 4th of July is on a Monday. We are going to start service at 10:30. And so, we are shifting a little bit, and we're going to, that means that the worship, I will be up there strumming my first string at 10:30. And so, we're kind of shifting everything. So, the hangout time, the coffee time, and all that stuff, if you want to come early for that, and as well as prayer, we pray downstairs every morning. That'll all kind of get shifted back a little bit, but just letting you guys know, starting the first Sunday in July. Okay. Is that good? Did I miss anything? Awesome. All right. Well, Pastor Gaylene is going to come up here and share an amazing message. So why don't we give it up for our pastor? I'll get you.
Good morning, family. So I've had a rough week this week. I was in the hospital. Pardon me? No, it's good. I'm not going to sit down yet, only if I get any weaker. Anyway, I had a really rough week this week, and when I do have like an ailment or something like that, my mind goes in a crazy place. Like, you know, it kind of goes negative, which I can be a bent like that. I can do that real easily. And so I was just like doing a poor me thing, you know, like, wah, poor me. I was doing it internally, and I apologized to my husband on the way up yesterday to Yakima, because we had our granddaughter do a little ballet recital, and it was adorable and cute. And I apologized if I was grumpy this week. And he says, no, I didn't notice that you were grumpy, but I did notice you were very quiet. So when I do get kind of feeling bad, I kind of like introvert myself. I like go inside and just kind of just do that. But the enemy, when I do that, the enemy attacks me really bad, because then I'm in my own thoughts. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm, it's almost like a tornado or a whirlwind inside going, and I mean, it's zipping. Like, you want to talk about somebody that could run a marathon on a negative thought. Whoa, I am your girl. I can do that real easy, because that's just, my mind just whirls. And more times than not this last year, I have been awake till 3 o'clock in the morning battling my mind, because the enemy's attacking me in my mind. So I'm speaking that out into existence, that he has no power over me. So I'm just going to say that out loud, that I'm not, absolutely not embarrassed that I have struggles. If it weren't real for me, it wouldn't be real for you. And all of us have struggles. So there you have it. You know, there's your little footnote for the morning. You're good. Okay. So this morning, again, last night, awake until 3 o'clock in the morning, but it wasn't really about anything bad. It was just about still feeling kind of weak this week and feeling kind of puny. And so I was struggling to get out of bed this morning. I was so tired. And so as I'm getting ready for church, I remember that I found these books for the pastors of our church. So I gave one to my husband, son, this is yours. I'll give it to you after I'm done with it. And then I was looking through it because, you know me, I love to do stories. I love to read a story out, or I'd love to tell you, you know, in my own words, what I read this morning and why it impacted me so much. Well, as I'm reading, I came across a really good one in here. And, I loved it because it reminded me of either, what we called youth at one time, or what we, a campaign thingy that we have for youth of Nevertheless. Do you remember that? The youth way back, that was their name, right? Nevertheless. Okay. So I read a story in here, Nevertheless. You can find it and read it later, Eric. And, so I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, that is so good. I'm going to read that one, even though it was a little bit long. I'm like, I hope everybody could stay with me. So I'm thinking I'm going to do it. Well, I didn't have anything to mark it with. And so, I read through the whole thing. And then I went looking. Now, for those of you that don't know this, we live in two houses. One house is right next door, and in that house is my twin sister and her husband in the upstairs, and Mike's dad, our dad, in the downstairs. So my sister and her husband kind of are here to kind of watch out for the grounds in case strange things happen during the week, and also watch out for Grandpa, because Grandpa is, you know, he's 88, right? 88. And even though he is, he's a go-getter, we want to make sure somebody's looking out for him, because, you know, 88, like, hallelujah, Jesus, you go, Grandpa. Anyhow, and so I never know where anything is in either house. And Mike will say, oh, where's the blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh, that's at the other house. And he says, well, did we buy, like, you know, a heavy cream, or did we buy Fairlife? Didn't we just buy that? And I'm like, that's at the other house. So it's like, neither one of us can keep it straight, because it is just blurred so much. Over 3 years we've been doing this, guys. Can you believe that? Traveling back and forth every single week for 3 years. And I'm tired. Anyway, that was a side note, footnote number two. Anyway, and so, I don't know where anything is in my houses. So I'm going and I'm looking for, like, just, you know, something that can go in there to keep my place in my book, because it's Eric's book. I don't want to, you know, dog ear it. I want it to be fresh and new, like, you know, brand new condition. So I just wanted something. And so I grabbed this sticky note. And on this sticky note, now I've already read this. I've already gone through the morning getting ready. I'm already like, you know, I'm like, and I go and get this sticky note and start folding it in half. And as I'm folding it in half, Eric, would you please read what it says on this sticky note?
It says, write it down.
Write it down. That's what it says. It's a sticky. I folded it in half. And it says, write it down. Write it down. And the Lord says, oh, you thought you were going to be talking about Nonetheless. No, you're not. You're going to be talking about writing it down. Now, I don't know if any of y'all know, but we have written a kid's book. It's been published. You can get it on Amazon. We have actually a second book that's in the works. I've written it. He still has to illustrate it, but it's adorable. Anyway, it's a kid's book. And so why did I say that? I was talking about writing it down. But anyway, I'm a writer. I love to write. That's why I said it. I love to write. I love thinking up things in my mind and writing it down on paper. And I remember when I was in my creative writing course, like, Tim was a little tiny 3-year-old when I went back to college and took creative writing, because I loved writing so much and I wanted to do it right. And oh, the Lord was with me so powerfully then, because Mike and I shared an office, and I was clicking away, and I would read the stories out to him. He goes, "How do you think of those things?" And I mean, I'm clicking fast, like typing it, because I'm a fast typer. And I was clicking. He goes, I said, "It feels as if it's flowing through my fingers, like out and flowing, like I cannot type as fast as my mind's going. Like, that's how fast the stories come." So whenever I see the word write, W-R-I-T-E, I pay attention. And the Lord said, "Write it down." And I'm like, "Write it down." Now, I knew there was a scripture about writing it down. So I'm like, "Hey, babe," because this is my walking Bible right here. If anybody has a question about scripture, just call him and say, "Where's that scripture that says, but, he knows where it's at. Most times he knows where it's at. So I said, "Where's that scripture that talks about write it down?" He goes, "Oh, I think it's in Habakkuk." And I'm like, "No, it's not in Habakkuk. Like, there's no way it's in Habakkuk." "Oh, yes, there is." So we're going to start talking about writing it down. Habakkuk 2:1. "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself to the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, 'Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it.'" Verse 3. "For still the vision awaits to its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." In another version, it says, "Wait for it patiently." Okay, first point, write it down. Now, why am I talking about this on Father's Day? Well, I'm going to tell you. I am a victim of a broken home. I was a single mom for a few years. My kid's dad decided that he wanted a new life with someone else and left me with two children. One was only 4 and one was 8. And, it was a real struggle for me. And I know that there were times I did it painfully wrong. I know that my kids saw things that were harsh. They witnessed things that were probably very damaging to their spirit. I know that they saw their 29-year-old mom growing painfully. And I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down where they could see it in order to be it. Oh, let me say that again. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't write it down so that they could see it, so that they could be it. Kids are a white and black existence. It's either white or it's black. It's either yes or it's no. It's either right or it's wrong. I like to say this. Kids before 25, because this is a little tip for y'all, the frontal lobe of a person's brain does not quit growing until after 25. At age 25, it stops growing. So up to age 25, these young brains are still firing, and sometimes wrongly. What was I saying, babe? I didn't write it down for my kids, and so my kids didn't have it to mimic it. They didn't see it in order to do it. They didn't read it so that they could see it and do it. They saw me and they're like, "Am I going to be that confused at 29? Am I going to be that weird at 29? Am I going to be that messed up at 29? When it says write it down, it says make it plain. So dads, this is an admonishment to you. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Should have done it at the beginning, but I didn't. But y'all, when we as parents, when we as fathers or mothers can't do it right, if it's written down and it's plainly written down, this is a yes and this is a no, our kids will have the comfortable boundary that they need to grow. When I was saying about kids being black or white up to age 25, honestly, and I know this sounds funny, there's no gray matter. Now, isn't that funny? We're talking about the brain and no gray matter, but kids don't have that gray inside. They can't skim over the line to make a decision. It's either yes or no. And then when they see mom or dad do a maybe or a for this period of time, it's okay, or for today, because I'm angry, I can say a curse word, even though we don't cuss in our house. Or when I go out with my friends and my kids are sitting at the table down from me and all my friends are ordering something that we've told our kids not to have and that they can't have. And I'm going to use alcohol as an because this is our belief. It's not pressure for anybody else. But we believed, because of the gray matter not being there for kids, it's either yes, we drink, or no, we don't. Because kids can't say one is okay and be done with it, because they don't have that gray matter in there to make that kind of discerning decision for themselves. So is one drink okay? For most people, it is fine. However, for our kids, if it's one drink, they don't stop at one. They're like, well, we can drink. Like, oh, my mom and dad do. And what one generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess. So you remember that with your kids. Anyway, going back. So I was really, really firm with my kids about not drinking, because not that they couldn't, they just didn't understand that they needed to use care with it. And because they didn't have the gray matter to understand that caring portion of the situation, it was just easier to say no. It was easier not to have it in the refrigerator or on the counter. It was easier for there not to be a question. So that's how our kids grew up. That's just the way that we decided to do it, along with not cussing and along with not, you know, no, men don't hit women, and, you know, and all of those. We go to church on Sundays, like all of those things. We don't gray anything when our kids are 25 and under, just because they can't handle it. They just can't handle it. So when we write it down, we need to make it plain. We need to make it plain. Now, let's use this in a spiritual sense, shall we? What does that mean about somebody walking in the back door and coming into our church? Now, all we need is love. I mean, I feel like that. All we need is love. Da, 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 da. You know that old song? Isn't that the Beatles? Yeah. Okay. I'm normally not up on who the artist is, but I know that one. Okay, so if we're not so loving that we're no good to the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is love. Jesus is love. And if people can't walk in here and know that we are a loving church by who we are and who we exude. I mean, the first time Alex came in here, he was inundated with people. People kept going after, oh, so happy. But that's how we are. That's who we are. And we still do it, even though he's been here now like 4 or 5 times now, Alex. This is your third time? Well, seems like you've been here forever. You're part of the family. Yeah, see there. Okay. Anyway, so I'm just saying that's who we are. We are love. That's who we are. But let me just say, guys, if it's not plainly written, don't do it. Don't confuse. Don't make people wonder about it. Don't allow yourselves to become the kind of Christian that is not set deeply into a root system. So write down what the Lord's telling you and then make it plain. So, and it's not for you that you're making it plain. It's for whoever reads it coming behind you. Your kids, your youth, your Wednesday night group. I was, on Friday night, we went to dinner, and we went to dinner with 3 of the guys that come in into Mike's Zoom on Wednesday night. We've never met them in person. I never even saw them on Zoom because I just heard about them. And so it's Steve 1, Jim, and Steve 2. And on Steve 2's driver's license, it says Steve 2 because he's a junior. His dad's a senior. And then Steve One is a Steve One because he has a son that's named Steve. So both of these guys, they refer to each other as, hey, Steve One, hey, Steve Two. Like, that's what they do. But I was shocked to learn, as we were sitting around later, we had gone to one of their houses and we were sharing and just having one of the most enjoyable evenings I've ever had with adults, because they're all believers. They all love Jesus with all their heart. And I was shocked to learn that every single one of us, every single couple, was on a second marriage. Everyone. And we were the longest married couple. And I was talking with Steve too, and I was saying, I really hate the enemy. I really do. Because in our generation, in our era, that was just prevalent. That was prevalent in our generation, like, you know, in our 20s, 30s. Like, couples were not staying together. The enemy's fighting so strongly against Christian marriages. And the reason he was doing is because he was trying to get at the foundation of family, to break apart family. And we're all living in the repercussions of that. We really are. And so, as I'm sharing, then I turn to, the wife of Steve too. And her name is, don't tell me, Mike, her name is Sandy. And I said to Sandy, I said, what the enemy did with breaking up families and marriages in the 90s and the 2000s, he's now done very efficiently with COVID by, you know, bringing down, I mean, think about it. How many in this room know of a person that has passed away from COVID? Please raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to say that we are probably at 75% of us know a person intimately that has passed away from COVID. The enemy is on the attack, and he's going to use any ploy and anything that he can. So when we write it down and we make it plain, it's for who comes behind. As most of you know, Dee Dee Gobbs last week with us was last weekend, and we lost her sweet husband, Mike, on January 1st. And it is now going to close to July 1st when she's going to be leaving. So 6 months later, like, how fast has her life changed in 6 months? The upheaval. And all she can say, and guys, when I grow up, I want to be just like her. All she can say is, Jesus has been so good to me. Like, she's lost her spouse. Her livelihood is gone. She's quit her job, sold her house, getting ready to drive out of Yakima for one of the last times. And she continually says, Jesus has been so good to me. She's making it plain. She's telling people, there may be change. There may be grief. There may be things that we do not understand that's going on in our lives. But I plainly will tell you, Jesus is good. I will plainly write it down so that people behind. She says that to her son on text messages, Reggie, Jesus is so good. She's writing it down. Let's write it down. Let's make it plain. And point number three. Wait patiently. Wait patiently for it. Does it happen right away sometimes? No. Sometimes it is a wait. Sometimes what the Lord has promised hasn't happened yet. I believe that the call of God on this precious woman right here, I believe that the call of God has been, I don't want to say delayed because that's not the right word, but it has been, we've not seen it come to fruition like we have in the past 6 months. This precious one has said yes to Jesus time and time again. She has been faithful for years in the house of the Lord. And now, just now, Jesus is saying, come on, sweetie, I got the plan for you. She has waited patiently for it. She has not been kicking and screaming, why isn't it my turn? And she hasn't been, Lord, you know, maybe in her quiet time she has, you know. And you know that 3 o'clock in the morning when your brain is going like 80 miles an hour, Lord, why haven't you done something? But I'm just going to say, she has waited patiently. And now Jesus is she has anybody noticed? She's opened a few times and done it very well. Have you noticed that she sung out on worship team during the times that it's quiet times? Tara's done the same, both of them. I mean, this is what I'm telling you. If you wait patiently, God, in his great, wonderful love and power and gloriousness, he will make it happen for you. Wait patiently, because it doesn't happen sometimes just like that. I can remember when we served, like Eric and Nancy, as associates for... how many years, babe? Like, huh? Many, many years. It was like a decade or more. Like, it was a long time. And we actually, at one point, were saying, Jesus, release us. Like, it's never going to happen. We need to go somewhere else. Like, this is not where you have, you know, this isn't where you want us. And every single time, Gus, I'm not kidding you, with a resounding no, he said no. Like, I'm telling you, he made it plain. And so we waited. Sometimes not patiently, I might add. But if we can write it down, make it plain, and wait patiently for it, Jesus will be the one that pushes us forward, that lifts us up, that makes us step up, that allows us to minister for him, because our hearts has to be right. And he knows when it's not. And you know when it's not. So wait patiently. I love the Lord so much, and I'm going to be a little vulnerable right now. I was sharing earlier about, you know, having a really hard time with my thoughts, and it has just been glaringly real in the past 6 months. And I don't know if it's COVID brain. I don't know, you know, what it is, but I'm just going to tell you, I covet your prayers about this, because it has really begun to bother me so badly that my thoughts take such a negative bent. And I know it's an attack of the enemy. I know it's an attack of the enemy for me not to be able to minister the way he's called me to. I know that it's an attack of the enemy, because I know that what the Lord gives me needs to be shared, because we all need life spoken into us. Every single one of us need life. And so it has really been a difficult 6 months, but I'm going to say this morning, the enemy got it stuck to him from Jesus really big, because he led me through a book with a story. First, it was praying and thanking the Lord for the morning and, you know, getting up and moving around. But then it's like, oh, got to find a story. So I go there, and Jesus already knew that I was going to run to this sticky note. I did not know I was going to run to this sticky note, nor did I think that it was going to be that big a deal. But when a writer sees the word write, she pays attention. She just does. That's just the way it is. So I did not know through that story, through my morning prayer time, through my, you know, getting ready, slowly but surely getting ready, and coming to the sticky note thing, I didn't know that it was that this was the path the Lord was going to take me through to get me to this. But has anybody been ministered to this morning by this word from God? I have. And if I'm just saying it for me, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm okay. But I'm going to tell you, these are three very important steps that we need to remember in our daily basis. And it is succinct enough that you don't have to forget it. Write it down. Make it plain. Wait patiently. Amen? Okay. Can we sing that one song that was in the middle? I don't remember what it was, but it was really good. Oh, he knows what it is.
So good. Come on, church, let's stand together. Let's worship. You reign above it all, you reign above it all, and over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher.
Lord, you do. You reign above it all. Reign in our hearts, Lord. Reign in our hearts. Reign in our lives, Lord. Help us to run, Lord. Help us to run the race of faith, God, with purpose, Lord, with a mission, God. Help all of us, Lord, to write it down, what you're telling us, what you're showing us, what you want us to accomplish for your kingdom. You reign above it all, Lord. You reign above it all. One more time, you reign above it all. Fathers, happy Father's Day. Over on the counter over there, there is some candy. Always believe that the guys love candy. Women love mugs and cute things. Guys are always happy with candy. So I want to let you know, for those of you who aren't fathers yet, but will someday be one, there's quite a few over there. So make sure the fathers get it first, and then anyone else can help themselves to it. You have a blessed day. We love you. And be at the Lopez's on Saturday night, because we have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Don't take the Snickers over there. That's mine. I claim it.